This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is Lesson 31 of Equine Clicker 101 podcast on the Horse Radio Network. We're preparing to take your training on the road. Equine Clicker 101 is a podcast that takes you to class to learn and practice clicker training for your horse. Please support our sponsors as they make this show possible.
With positive reinforcement, we teach our horses to be confident problem solvers. But if he's worried about his gut or struggling with inconsistent nutrition, you're really training uphill.
That's why we love that Triple Crown uses fixed formulas. After years in the show ring, I know consistency is everything, not just in the training schedule, but in the feed bag.
Triple Crown commits to using super premium, corn-free ingredients, which means they don't swap out components based on cost. What you feed today is what you'll feed next month.
And that amazing stability is backed by Equimix technology in every single feed. It's a powerful blend of prebiotics, probiotics, and organic minerals designed to optimize gut health and immunity.
Whether you need the safety of safe starch forage, or for a metabolic horse, or the performance boost of the grain feeds, Triple Crown gives you the foundation of health for a willing partner.
Choose Triple Crown Feed, where advanced nutrition meets reliable quality.
This is Shawna Karish, and in today's episode, what we're going to do is talk about how do you prepare your horse to go on the road with the training. It means show season is almost here. Some of you want to show, some of you going to hit the trail, some of you just want to go to your friend's house, or sometimes it's something practical like you need to go to the vet. But we want to be sure that we prepare them to take the training on the road. This is called Context Shift, and we're going to walk through some steps of how you can practice this at home so you can build up so your horse understands when you shift the context what's being asked of them. So it helps to bring clarity.
What most people want is a deeper bond with their horse, a partnership built on trust, not just compliance. Our mission is to make that successful journey simple and sustainable.
That journey starts with our Shawna Karish Equine membership. Think of it as a massive organized library of success. You instantly get access to all of our courses and training videos, making the science of positive reinforcement easy to apply.
Beyond the content, you join a supportive, judgment-free community. It's a safe place to ask questions, celebrate victories, big or small.
We're always refining our website, addressing current topics and adding valuable content in addition to keeping up with the newest advances in equine behavior.
So trot on over to shawnakarish.com to learn more about our amazing community, courses, Q&As, learning labs, and so much more.
All righty, folks. This is an important topic. Now, this isn't a topic that you necessarily would think of in more traditional training methods, but it's one of the things that I know is an important topic, and it's really revolves around something called context shift. And that sounds rather, it sounds rather technical, but it basically means anytime you shift the context, one little piece of the context, we can actually lose criteria. So that one little piece of context could be that you asked your horse to do it in a different part of the arena. You did it when there was a different neighbor in the paddock next to him, or you've asked it in big ways in a different place in a different time. And so all of those little things that we can shift really do a lot to help us to prepare our horses for when the shifts get bigger and bigger and bigger. So what we want to do is we want to start with little teeny tiny shifts where we can set them up for success. But I think the important part of that is anticipating that you may lose some criteria. So let's say I've done, a spin, whichever, or backup or whatever it is. I've done it in the indoor arena. And that's where I've pretty much done it. And mostly I've done it in the front part of the indoor arena. So I'm kind of in the first fifth of the indoor arena. And that's where I do most of my session. And that's where he's learned this behavior. Well, even taking him to the back of the arena can present quite a quandary for him. He may go, I don't know it here because it's all relative and associated with the front part of the arena. So that is a small context shift, but a context shift nonetheless. For some horses, it's no big deal. They get it. They move right along, and that's not a problem. But for some horses, it is bigger than we could possibly think. So what we want to do is practice this and taking it and thinking. So taking the behavior to different places and then thinking about what can we do to help set them up for success, and then what can we do to help challenge them. So while we're trying to challenge them in their thinking and build some resiliency in the behavior, we need to question, and we need to get a little bit harder and a little bit harder, but we're ready with our tools to set them up for success. So while in the beginning, working in the same place may help to set them up for success, and you've noticed me talking throughout the podcast, throughout the lessons that we've done, that a lot of times I will shift and do it in a little different place, and then I'll do something else in between, and then I come back to it, but I've moved 20 feet away. And in our exercises, in the homework that I've given you to go home, I do encourage you to try things in different places. But it can be taken as an aside. So I wanted to be sure that we thought about it and really could break down and challenge ourselves to really work on this. This can be a great thing to do where you take each of your behaviors to a new place. Now, when the things get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, like going to a show, there's a huge context shift. There's a lot of things that can be either distracting or even downright worrisome for them. So the more we can build the resiliency in the behavior, meaning the behavior is stronger regardless of what's going on around them, and more dependable and more reliable, it'll go a lot for helping us in those tougher situations, or situations that our horses may find tough. Sometimes we don't think it's a big deal, but they might. And it may not be something you can even recognize. But by checking the behavior, by testing the behavior in different areas, we can really go a long way towards building some more consistency and more reliability with our horses. And again, it really helps our horses to learn this as a concept, to focus on us and rule out all the stuff that's around them. So it's a really great exercise to do. But as I said, it can start from little things, saying, I worked in the front part of the arena. Now I'm going to go to the middle part of the arena. Now I'm going to go to the back part of the arena. Now I may have music coming through the stereo in the arena. Or now I may have another horse that's also working with you in the arena. Or I may have, now it goes on and on and on and on, the different things we can do. Or maybe I tend to work it in the morning because that's when I tend to see my horse. Well, doing it in the afternoon or evening can be like, well, we don't do it after dinner. So there's very, very many things you can do. Now, there's also another thing I really like to do is do it in really completely different arenas. So working indoors is very different from working outdoors. There's a lot of different distractions and things to focus. And clearly that would be an approximation towards most shows, is going to be making sure we can do this behavior outside. As we're coming off of winter, a lot of us have maybe worked inside, or maybe haven't worked too much at all, or been very, very quick about things. So by taking it to an outside arena or a different arena, or doing it in their paddock, this also is another way that we can check the context. Another thing you can do to check the context, and I think this is also a really important one, but it can be a little more challenging, is making sure other people can do it this with your horse. So if it's a ridden thing and you're the only one riding your horse, that may be something that you're going to check a little bit later. But a lot of times for things like, going to the vet's office, and then the vet needs to give him an injection or needs to ask him to lift his foot for an x-ray or whatever it might be, just that context alone can be weird. But also having, if somebody else is working with your horse or handling your horse, that can also so be kind of a strange sensation for them. So by having other people work these behaviors, you're going a long way towards helping them to generalize and look and think the behavior is the behavior, and liking the behavior and realizing that because you can set it up at home a little differently, even if you're having somebody else work with the horse, you can still reinforce the horse or have them reinforce the horse. So they may think, I don't have a great relationship with this person. I don't even know this person. I have a great relationship with you. I'll do anything for you. So this is a way we can start to expand that a little bit and start to have them learning that lots of things and not lots of situations are a good potential for reinforcer. So the context shift is really an important element and something I do encourage you all the time to check and do. But I would really like you to take maybe three different behaviors that you're working with, and we're going to test those in different places. So think about where you've done them, when you've done them, who's been around when you've done them. And I want you to test those parameters so we can get ourselves ready for doing things in other places. Now, this clearly, I mean, it's one thing on the ground, but this is also really, really important when we're talking about ridden behaviors as well, because there's a lot of times when we're on the back of our horses, they can feel a little, they feel better when we're on the ground. I think most people have experienced this and recognize this. I don't know if it's because they think, well, the lion will get you first, or if it is that they can visually see us and they feel the comfort of us being right next to them and kind of being extra supportive. It doesn't matter which it is. It's just something we tend to see. So under saddle stuff sometimes can have them feeling a little bit more alone and sometimes a little bit more insecure. We've talked about some of the, one of the earlier lessons. Let's see what it was. I think it was... Oh, I don't remember which one, but we've worked on working on behaviors under saddle and introducing our horses to strengthen behaviors under saddle so we can work with a spooky horse or help redirect their focus to something good and something productive, you know, as opposed to just letting them flail. So if you start to see them get too fixated on something, I ask them to bend or collect or something that they love, and they go, oh, yes, and it takes them back to that safe place. Or I use the ridden target, which is another nice way to actually use a target while under saddle. So those are things we can incorporate. But what we really want to do is see if we can't get these behaviors strong enough on their own. So having these behaviors that are 100%, they're great at home, they're perfect at jumping, they're perfect at, you know, their relaxed walk, they're great at their canter departs. All these things are really strong. They're good at their downward transitions, are really strong at home. But what we need to do is start changing that up a little bit here and there. So working at a different arena, working outside of the arena, working on the trail, going to a neighboring farm if they'll let you trailer over or ride over and work over there. All of these things help you to help your horse to bring up their criteria and have the same criteria away or with these this shift in the context as they do when everything is set perfectly for them. So this also brings me up to another thing that we talk about quite a bit, and that is really trying to set them up for success or setting up your antecedent arrangements, which that's a technical term, but basically trying to set them up for success. So if I've got a horse who is really prone to, you know, being very active, and I want to do, you know, work on him standing quietly for clipping, let's say, I try to do it after they've had exercise. So that's not a bundle of energy. On out, they've had energy. I try to pick a time of the day and a place and that will help them to be relaxed and focused. So it's a way that I can set them up for success. Now, on the other hand, I may have a horse who I'm working on his upward transitions. They're not so good. I'm going to try to use the energy and capture the energy as much as I can so that I can build a good reinforcement with that history, with that behavior. Those tools that we do to set them up for success. So maybe I'm going to ride that horse before it's the hottest part of the day or before they go run around with their friends. I'm going to use things that are tools to setting them up for success by thinking about what can we do that are going to make my odds of succeeding be greater. Well, that's a really important step and a really important part, but we always also want to be able to fade those tools. So I can do clipping first thing in the morning or late in the afternoon. I can ride my horse who won't go, is has a propensity to not go forward first thing in the morning or later in the afternoon after he's been turned out with his friends. Because by then I've built a nice strong reinforcement history with the behavior. They like the behavior. They choose the behavior. In fact, it's probably even gone to the point of being a bit classically conditioned. So I think that that part is really, really important, but I also need to fade those tools. Well, that is also a bit of a context shift as we start to say, well, I'm not going to do it, you know, first thing in the morning when you have the most energy. I'm going to see if we can't do it a little bit later. Maybe it is closer to the hottest part of the day or that, you know, and so the different things that we can do that is addressing that context shift, but it's something to keep in mind as you're training, and keep in mind, maybe you've hung on to some of those things that have set them up for success. You just hadn't thought about, I'm going to do this someplace else in a different time and see how strong it is. Now, one of the things I've said is you also want to think about, before you go to a different place, I anticipate that I'm going to lose some criteria, that they're going to go, I don't know, I don't remember what to do, I just don't remember, you know, or I'm so distracted, I can't focus, whatever it is. So try to recall the tools you used to train the behavior in the first place, and do not hesitate to go back and use them. So, for example, maybe with, you know, moving forward under saddle, you've used the cones with the targets in them, and you've clicked them for going to the targets. And by now you've faded all the targets out of there, and they're just going forward simply by your leg. Well, now that you're going to try and shift one piece of this context, you may need to put the cones back out and think, I may need to use those. So have them ready. So if you ask to go and he's not really kind of going like he normally does, you can go back and start pointing him to the target and build that back up again. So have a little recall in your mind, go back to how you got there, and then and don't hesitate to use that. Again, you'll be able to feed those tools or fade those tools, but in the first initial steps of shifting, you may lose some criteria. So just be ready to help them out and then fade them, and you'll see that behavior will get stronger and stronger and stronger in lots of places. So this is a good principle to remember to hang on to, especially because a lot of us do want to go out and go trail riding and go to a show or go to, you know, or for even for practical reasons, you know, we want them to load in a trailer regardless of where we are. So those are all good things to check. So I want you to go ahead and get ready, get your stuff together, because we're going to head to the lab. So go get your horse ready. Think about three different behaviors that you want to work on with your horse. Think about how you train those behaviors. So if you need to have a cone ready, go ahead and have a cone ready, you know, or if you need a target ready, have a target ready. If you need a mounting block, whatever pieces it is that you need and you've used, maybe for some things you've used a ground pole, but have those pieces there and ready so you can recreate that behavior and help figure out how to get them back on track. Okay. So go ahead, get your stuff ready, figure out where the best place for you to work is, and pick three behaviors that we can challenge a little bit. Doesn't mean the full throttle. We're not going from completely one to something really drastic. Just think little shifts that you can do in different behaviors that you can say, well, I'm going to try it in the back of the arena, and then I'm going to try it in the middle of the arena, and then I'm going to try it, you know, so use the different pieces. Okay. So there you go. Get ready. And I will talk to you in a few minutes. When you're ready, turn this back on.
Successful positive reinforcement trainers focus on basics. In both training and nutrition, the most effective approach is often the simplest. We wouldn't want to give our horses ingredients they don't need or can't utilize, right? That's the core philosophy behind Kiss Trace Equine Supplement. Keep it simple.
Many supplements contain ingredients that the horse's body struggles to absorb and that are inefficient. Kiss Trace is different because it uses only the highest quality trace minerals, sources scientifically proven for their superior bioavailability.
By focusing on giving horses what they can utilize efficiently, Kiss Trace supports their natural ability to maintain a healthy coat, sound hooves, and optimal performance without any binders or fillers. And that's really important. We love Kiss Trace because it works and it keeps it simple. Find them at thornybottomfarm.com. That's T-H-O-R-N-E, bottomfarm.com.
All righty. Okay, so I have Murray with me today, and we are in the outdoor arena, and I'm going to ask him, these are behaviors that I've really strengthened through the wintertime. So that means I worked these behaviors, and they're pretty sedentary behaviors. So I worked them quite a bit in the indoor arena because it was winter and, you know, we didn't have the greatest weather. So now taking it outside, it's springtime, it's a little cooler, and it can be a little bit windy sometimes. So, and we've had construction with our learning center. It's done now, but they're still a little bit distracting and new. So I'm going to work on his spin, which is a simple spin, just walking in a circle. I'm going to work on his stay, and I'm going to work on his backup. And the way I teach a backup is I give him one cue and he backs up for me and continues away from me. I just stand still and he just backs and backs and backs without me giving him a second cue. So those are things, and he's probably got about 8 reliable steps now. So this behavior isn't solid yet. I mean, I would like him to go the length of the arena and to have a little bit more momentum, but it's good enough that we can go and start checking these behaviors. And so that's the things I'm going to work on today. What I need from my spin, I'm going to need to have, I have a target in a traffic cone. So it is a mobile stationary target. So I can set it somewhere and it stays put. So it is stationary, but I can move it. So it's mobile. So I have that. So if I need to go back and use that, I can use that. And then the stay is all about me moving away from him. So we don't need any props for that. I will just take a step back and where I'll go back to the very early steps of it. And then the backup is I have Marsh here with me, and Marsh has a target as well because we trained it with 2 people. So the one person would give the cue, the other person would initially start the backup with a target. Now he's gotten to the point where he's building longevity without a second person, but I have a person there to remind him of these early steps just in case we need him. Okay, so we're going to go out there, and I'm going to work on each of these things in the front part of the arena, and then the back part, which is it is further away from the buildings, the other horses. So it kind of is the area they don't go to quite as much. It's out, you know, out yonder. So I'm going to start and ask him in the early parts in the more familiar area that he works with. So here we go. Okay, Murray, are you ready to go? Okay, can you stand beside me? And what I'm going to do right now, like I do with a lot of my early sessions, when I start a lot of sessions, I'm going to start with him just standing quietly with his head to himself. I want relaxation to be our starting point. So that's what I'm doing. He's doing great. So I clicked and fed him, and that's perfect. And now he's just standing. He's nice and relaxed. And I clicked and I fed him. And so it's a way that I can say, yep, we're doing this session. And it's a way that I can kind of make sure that we have this starting point. So if he gets a little lost, I want to remind him about how important this standing quietly is. I guess I remind him most sessions because it's really important. Anyway, so that's perfect. Okay, so I'm going to take him. I'm actually going to start off the spin with the cone because this one is, I think it can be a little bit more arbitrary. So I set the cone out here, and I'm going to, the way I do it is I'm about a quarter turn away. I'm going to just remind him about going to the target first. Okay, the target. Good. And I clicked and fed him. I basically sent him to a target is what I did, but I sent it from 45 degrees, a 90 degree angle. So he kind of had to walk the beginning of his spin, and that's how he learned the spin. Okay, so that's going great, and I'm going to go right to the 180. So now I'm actually going to look for the spin. And the way we've done it is we faded the target out from behind him so he can do it without a target. I'm just going to walk him so the target is like a little bit further behind him, like it's going to be 3 feet behind him. So come on up here, Murray. That's good. And now we're set up. It's right behind him. And Murray, can you spin? Okay, he kind of just looked at me for a minute, so we're going to try again. Murray. Okay, spin. There he goes. Okay, perfect. I ducked it. Good, perfect. I ducked to the other side like I did in the early stages. Once he went back to the target, he didn't actually go to the target, but you could see he was looking at it, and I got his other eye. I got on the other side of him, and we finished it. So that was great. So that was nice. I'm going to walk him now. I'm going to do it again first. Okay, so I'm going to do this again and see if we can't get it a little bit more fluid. Murray, spin. Perfect. And that's good. Now he's thinking spin. Now that he's got that, I'm going to go the other direction, which has kind of always been his weaker direction. But I think now he's got it in his head. I've got him thinking, oh, this behavior is still tangible out here. So that's terrific. And Murray, spin. Really, really good. Okay, so I clicked and I'm feeding him a few handfuls for that because this to me, so I'm giving him another handful. This to me is a brand new behavior. You know, this is not, I mean, it's because it's not a brand new behavior, but it's a behavior that's in flux, a behavior that I'm trying to be certain is in a new place. We're back to a really strong learning phase. Not that any of these behaviors that I'm doing here today are 100% solid where we've just moved on. He's great with it. These are things that are kind of are in transition, but they're pretty solid. So I'm feeding him a fair share for that because I really appreciate his focus, him getting the right answer and thinking through it. He was problem solving. So now I said that I'm going to stick with doing the spin again, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to take him like 20 feet away from the cone, walking towards the back of the arena. So I'm going to do each behavior while I've got him thinking spin. I'm going to use that kind of repetition to help set him up for success. So it's a new way of setting him up for success, which I'll have to fade at another point in time, but not today. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take him about 20 feet away, walking towards the back a little bit. And that's good. I'm going to ask for a leg. Good. I clicked him for that and I reinforced him. So I'm just keeping him on his toes. I just asked him to lift his own leg and hold it up for a second. That was great. And that's good. Now I'm going to just kind of walk all around him a bit and rub him. And that's perfect. He's doing good. Alrighty. So let's go. And I'll go his best direction first. Murray, spin. Good. Very, very good. So he did that really, really well. Now, I could see he was taking a look around the place. Now, he wasn't looking for the target. It looked to me that he was kind of looking who was around where and if anybody was in the lunging arena. But he did it. He did it great. And that's perfect. So now I'm going to have him go the other direction. So this is a little bit more challenging. Spin. And he did that really well. Good. So I'm reinforcing him for that. And then I'm going to walk to the back. So I'm reinforcing him while we walk. So I gave him a big handful, but I'm going to continue to reinforce him a little bit as we continue to walk towards the back. And that's great. And now we are pretty much in the back area. We don't go back here very much for working. This isn't as familiar. And and nobody else is really out around us. Okay, so now I'm being a little optimistic. I may end up having to go back and get the cone, but I'm feeling pretty good. So I'm going to see if I can't just get him to do the spin without the cone. All right. And spin. Perfect. And that was great. And I'm going to give him a few handfuls for that. I'm not even going to try the other direction. I just like that he did it. And that was fantastic. So now I'm going to feed him a bunch here, and then we're going to start walking back to the front of the arena and work on the stay. So there we go. So I don't know which behaviors you're working at, but to continue to think about, you know, how you could set him up for success. What is the best way? What is the easiest way? Now, you may have had some little glitches along the way. And if you've had big glitches, I'm just talking while we're walking. If you've had big glitches, don't worry about it. Stay in the front of the arena. You know what I mean? If Murray had really kind of had a hard time sorting it out with the spin, I probably wouldn't have moved on. I would have just said, hey, I see this is harder than I thought it might be. I'm going to try to get you just a little bit more focus and success. Just being outside, it's enough. I don't need to work on the other parts of the arena yet, but the spin was pretty solid. Okay, so now I'm going to do the spin in the center of the arena. Not the spin. They're also S-y. I'm going to do the stay in the middle of the arena. So this is one I think he's going to do pretty well. I feel pretty confident about this one. So I'm just going to go to the middle, but I am going to go back to I'm going to take a little baby step and give him a really early bridge signal if he's on the right track. So I'm going to go to his side, and I am not looking for duration right yet. Stay. And I rock back and I take a step. Click. Good. And now I'm reaching up. I'm going to go feed him up where I want him to be. So he doesn't come to me for the stay. He stays put. And that was great. So I'm going to do it again. Stay. And I back up. And I back up. And I'm taking a step towards the back. And perfect. I clicked and fed again. I don't want to get too greedy. And that was really nice. So we are going to try it. I'm going to see if I can't walk all the way around him this time. And he seems really focused. But honestly, he can kind of look around and take in the environment without and stay. You know, it's not asking him to do quite as much unless he's feeling insecure and he wants to stay with me. Okay, so stay. All right, and I'm backing up. And I'm walking around the backside. And he's doing really good. And this is excellent. And click. Good boy, Murray. That is fantastic. And so I reinforced him there. And you know what I realized is a little bit of a context shift for him? I'm not usually talking to somebody else while I'm doing this. You know, so he can feel that my focus is with somebody else. So that was perfect. I'm giving a few handfuls for that. Now we're going back up to the front of the arena and we are going to work on his backup. This is his most challenging behavior. And this is a behavior I'm not going to even worry about taking to the back of the arena. If I can get him to do a few steps up here, you know, if I can get 5 steps or so up here or feel like he's fluidly going, I'm going to be happy with that. And I'm going to leave it there because this is an exercise. It's more about his head and his focus and retaining what he's learned versus really working at 100% criteria yet. We'll get back to it. But for now, I want to show that he understands and he's willing and he's going there. Okay, so Murray. Okay, so I'm going to give him a signal. Back up. Okay, so he did a step or two and they just came right back. So I just gave him a pause. I kind of made eye contact. So I see what you did there. Not going to reinforce that one and see if we can't try again. Murray, back up. Now I'm going to walk with him for a step or so. Good. And there, perfect. So I walked with him for a step or two. We really worked it where he goes away, but me stepping into him kind of helps him because that's been the initial cue has been part of that. So then as I did a step, I continued the cue for a couple steps. And so then he got the idea. And as he was moving, then he took 2 steps on his own. You could tell he let go of me and he thought, oh yeah, I know what to do. And he backed up. So that was fantastic. Now you notice I saved the hardest one for last. Okay, because I want a jackpot on this one if I can. I want to give him a big giant reward for this one if it goes well. Okay, so I'm going to ask again. Murray, back up. Okay. He hesitated. Good. Very good. Now you could see he went and then he kind of hesitated and then he kind of swung back into taking another. I could tell he got back into motion to back up again. So that was really, really good. So I'm going to have him walk forward with me a little bit. Let's go over here. So we're shifting positions slightly. We're just like 10 feet away, but we're still in the front of the arena. We're not very different, but I shifted a little bit. And Murray, can you back up? 1, 2. Perfect. And he did 6 steps that were pretty fluid for him. So that is great. We're going to trot over here and I'm going to give him a big jackpot. So I have a little bucket set over here. I'm going to give him a jackpot and let him I'm going to end my session there because I think that was fabulous. I was really pleased with that. I knew that this last behavior was the biggest question. So I was pleased that he did that. He did it while I was talking to you guys. He did it in a new arena and that was fabulous. So what I want you to do is get to a place where you have some success. If you're having trouble with your first behavior, you may stick with that a little bit. It doesn't mean you have to get all 3 of them. You may make a mental note and think, okay, let's get back to getting, you know, maybe you didn't get to wean the props and you still needed the things you used to help train. That's okay. All right. So he's great. I want you to get to a good place where you can finish up with your horse and then meet me back in the classroom and we'll kind of talk about how it went and we'll talk about homework. So you finish up and get everything safe and put away and I'll meet you in a little bit.
Stop worrying about what you're feeding in your training sessions. Give your horse a treat that's genuinely good for them. Grazer's NutriTreats are the forage-based solution that makes healthy training simple.
They are the ultimate high-value reinforcer, yet they're safe for your horse. No added sugar, and they're even safe for metabolic horses. Each treat includes beneficial electrolytes and probiotics to support his gut and maintain balance.
Training should be fun and focused. We love Grazer's treats for their non-crumbly, non-sticky, pocket-friendly design. You'll love them too. And yes, we do use them in our sessions, and our horses love them. See the difference in your horse's focus and health without the worry. Order your 5-pound bag today at equinebalancesupport.com. That's balanced with an E-D. Equinebalancesupport.com.
All righty. Well, of course, I hope that went well for you. I hope that was clear for you and gave you kind of a little insight to where your horse is when you shift the contact just a little. So we're going to get some homework, and the homework's really important because you want to carry on from here. This is just the beginning. There's always more to do. All righty. So that, you know, you're getting more skilled now. I'm leaving you to pick your behaviors and what you're going to do and what it's going to look like. So I'm sure you probably learned a lot, not only about your horse and where he is with some of the behaviors, but how different it is to take him in different places. Some horses are going to like, no big deal, I'm fine in some places, and other places it may be a big deal. Some horses will focus all the way through more often than not. Some horses, the slightest thing can be, for the sensitive horses, can be rather off-putting and disturbs their flow. So it's really good. This gives you a lot of information about your horse and where he is, and also it can tell you kind of a little bit about yourself and your own training. Sometimes this gives you a reminder like, ooh, I haven't done this, or I have to try more places. So this was just the beginning. In my situation, I went from a ring that they've been working in more lately to a ring they've certainly worked in, still go out and do things throughout the winter. So the ring isn't all that different. But taking a behavior that's done more inside to outside, that was different than taking some of them further away from the kind of the working area of the arena to the kind of the more unfamiliar area. That was a really big and good step to kind of start testing things. Next, I'd like to take them over to the jumping arena. And then I would like to say, can you do it in your paddock? Can you do it on the track paddock? Can you do it when you're turned out? Can you do it, you know, in places you haven't been? So can you do it in the trailer? You know, for some of these behaviors you could, you know, some you can't, but you know, so I can do different things and test it in different places. But it's just the beginning of saying that's great. And the more you do this, the quicker your horse is going to acclimate to a new place and say it doesn't matter. The new place doesn't matter. It's just the same. And keep in mind, horses have a real tendency to be neophobic. They're afraid of new places, new things, new situations. They can find them fearful and think that they might be trouble. So it is excellent to actually try these things in really all over the place, different places that you can go, and seeing how they can do and learning that new places are not any different. New places are also just as valuable and just the same opportunity for reinforcement. So I want you to continue on. Think of the different places you can try it, the different situations, the things that you can shift. Use your imagination because there's a lot. And sometimes don't underestimate that just the littlest thing might be a big thing, and it can be very different for different behaviors. So you are to carry on with the behaviors we worked on today, but think of all the behaviors and think of those ridden behaviors too. That's really, really an important part. But starting with the ground behaviors can help get them the concept that the same training is going on, whether we're on the trail or we're in the arena. Anyway, so there you go. I hope this helped you out. I hope this gave you some food for thought and things to think about. And I want you to continue carrying on with that.
The conversation doesn't end here. Every horse deserves a happy, confident partnership, and we want to help you build that.
If you're the kind of person who is truly dedicated to making that happen, you'll want to join us in our community and watch your relationship with your horse become what you have always hoped it could be.
Head on over to our website to explore Shauna Karish Equine Membership. You get immediate access to all of our courses, live coaching, uncut problem-solving videos, and the ever-so-helpful Learning Lab study groups.
The fastest way to level up your training is to join us. So find everything at shaunakarish.com today.
Well, that about wraps it up for today, and I want you to enjoy getting your horse on target. Until next time, bye-bye.